Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We're all snooker loopy, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Burnley are back. James Maddison continues to impress, and Mike Ashley was in attendance along with Pete Donaldson at Selhurst Park. Hello, people. Good to have you with us.
Little meow from Peter.
Yeah. Meow.
I like that.
More on the meows later.
Oh,
yes. Interesting. Absolutely.
Easy does it now, Donny.
Easy.
So it's a weekend, as ever, packed full of football, but it was a good weekend, wasn't it?
Bloody good weekend. Yes. Mm. We all had a good time.
Well, I didn't say that.
watching Super Sunday, it needed the goals that Arsenal brought us in the end in the Arsenal 11th match.
It was just one of those brilliant weekends of sport where we had a lot of good stuff in the football, which we'll talk about. We had Tiger Woods on the comeback. We had AJ, stopping Povetkin. It was just a great weekend of sport, guys.
It was indeed.
Just a lot of men on Sunday going, well, this is the reason my AJ won, you see. Big fan of boxing, me. Never had you mention it before, so... Yeah.
Right. We ain't got time for that now, Donaldson.
I ain't got no time for this.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Luke Moore has been a fan of boxing for a long time, I'll have you know.
Yeah, boxing my ears with his nonsense.
Yeah, that is true, actually. Yeah.
It's very true. One of the outstanding results, you could argue, Jim, I suppose, was Burnley beating Bournemouth 4-0. Burnley rarely score, let alone more than one.
Yeah.
And Bournemouth have been going very, very well indeed. It's Burnley's first win in the league since last April. Now, obviously, some of the months in between now and then, they weren't playing.
Thanks for clearing that up, Marcus.
But it's still quite the stat. And Sean Dyche spoke of this being a chance to kind of kickstart the season and carry on from there. I suppose something to build on.
Well, I actually said that on Thursday's show, if you remember rightly. Okay. And it's nice to finally know that Premier League managers are listening to what I have to say.
They have been for some time.
My plan,
but not for the reason you think.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't we say last week, or you said that, and I remember you saying that, and you deserve credit for it, Jim. I said they got to take a shit or get off the pot.
Yes.
Which then you said, doesn't work, does it? No, but they have taken the shit now.
Yes.
Football-wise, they've taken the shit there.
It's just as
all
well.
All over turd more.
Yeah, all over Bournemouth's shirt.
Yeah, and if you're wondering if we're going to go with this theme of what we said on Thursday's show, we're not going to mention Cardiff versus Man City.
No, let's mention that.
Yeah, your nasal cavities let you down.
Yeah, it is a bit disappointing. I mean, I thought it would be a draw or a Man City win.
Well, that's a big shout.
I think I was very much on the side of Man City, giving them what
Pete
can only be described as a gubbin.
Yeah,
Pete was absolutely right.
Somebody texted my radio show saying he took his kid to go and watch Celtic play, and they'd had a gubbin.
They
didn't really get gubbed. The gub is, Bournemouth were gubbed.
No. They were gubbed.
You say that, but it was actually quite a weird game because
it was
from what I saw, Bournemouth had loads more possession.
It wasn't a 4-0 game, Luke.
And they had loads more shots as well. And yeah, and of course, because Burnley scored a couple late on, it gave the effect, it put a sheen on the game.
First half hour, Bournemouth were good. They sort of ran things a little bit, but just Vidra, who was there in the right place at the right time, he's not been amazing. I think it was his first start this season, and I thought he was...
He's an occupier of that fabled hinterland between the Championship and the Premier League. Yes. The Darren Huckabee zone.
The Huckabee zone, yeah.
Yeah, and David Brooks, who for me is one of the best young players, or one of the best young British players in the Premier League, he had a chance to score at 2-0 and Hart made a fine save.
Well,
and that, I mean, after that, it was difficult for Bournemouth. But I thought they had quite a lot of the play.
We have to mention Joe Hart here, by the way. He made some good saves again, registered his first clean sheet in the league for Burnley. Are we seeing old Joe? Are we seeing him in his best form
old
since?
Old Joe.
What about old Joe?
Have we seen Mr. Hart, his best form, I suppose, since Manchester City? It'd be unlikely for him to get back to those kind of halcyon days.
With keeping performances. And bearing in mind, how old is he now, 31?
I think he's 31.
Yeah, he's 31, yeah.
Like we're all in our 30s.
we're on our 30s, it's fine. Don't need to explore that any further. But with keepers, you usually sort of go, when he's got a mistake in him. With Joe Hart, he's got a good performance in him.
Yeah,
so he's still got to go a long way before he kind of...
I like that. But, and also, although the way you worded it made it sound like it was quite a decent sort of shout, I mean, if he is playing his best football since he left Man City, it's not that good, though, because since he left Man City, he's been awful.
Well, he's not been awful.
He's got 75 international caps.
Yeah.
Now...
Yeah.
For a keeper who is
only 31 now.
Who should, by rights, still be in that slot, and he's not.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'll get back in.
He shouldn't be in there by rights.
No.
That's not the right way of
saying it. No, by rights, by...
He could well be in there if he kept up his form from before. Yeah, but he's I mean, we spoke along the continent, and James Horncastle told us when Joe Hart was at Torino, even though everyone here wanted him to be great, because it's a goalkeeper going to Torino, and that's interesting... Mm. He said that he wasn't any good. I mean, he was not seen as one of the better keepers in the division, and he didn't really do an awful lot to repair his goalkeeping reputation as a keeper. I'm not saying they didn't like him personally or whatever, but as a keeper, that he wasn't really that well rated.
And he wasn't particularly good at West Ham last season, Jim.
No. Well, Hart is apparently a very big character, isn't he? Likes to sort of lead the dressing room, and he's one of those sort of alpha types by all accounts. So I wonder if him going into a club like Burnley, who are, you know, with all due respect to them, are a lot smaller. And I mean, you've been to Turf Moor, haven't you? You were talking about the facilities and how it just doesn't even feel like a Premier League club at all. Like, he is quite a big fish in that pond. Yeah. And that probably suits him. That probably gets the best out of him. So, I mean, it's quite a good fit, really.
Well, he's also playing, you know, his competition is, of course, the delightful Mr. Heaton. Nick Pope, who's
Lindegaard as well.
Lindegaard as well. I mean, Lindegaard, I'll be honest, I forgot he was there. So I think Lindegaard has been third choice. Heaton and Pope have had their injury problems. But Heaton and Hart, you know, Heaton was, for a period of time, Heaton was number three, whereas Hart was number one at England. Hart, I think there's a psychological thing there. He would think to himself, I'm better than him. And Pope, who is emerging again, probably looked up to Joe Hart for a long time, actually, as an English goalkeeper and the number one. So, yes, he's got competition, but he has, I suppose, a psychological advantage in some senses. Obviously, you could say, well, actually, he's been bombed out the England squad and the other two haven't as much. But I think it's a great opportunity. It's a shame, actually, that all those keepers are at that one club, because I'd love to see Pope get back to fitness and start games as well.
Just to follow up on what Jim was saying, I think that's a fair point. The other thing I would add to that, though, is different type of role when you play at a club like Burnley.
Of course.
Now, of course, he didn't show his best form at West Ham, but West Ham were having a difficult season. And I suppose Burnley have had a difficult start. And yet the difference is Joe Hart is now now excelling himself, because he's not expected to be the goalkeeper. It sets up attacks and has the ball at his feet and almost maintains his concentration for so many minutes before he actually gets any action.
Yeah.
All that kind of role that we expect from the top goalkeepers like Edison and De Gea, and also the way that Peter Cech has been criticised for not being that type of goalkeeper. Yeah. I have no doubt at all, if Peter Cech was at Burnley, people will be raving about him, because he'd be making save after save after save. So it does make it a little bit easier.
And Hart did say that the whole going out on loan thing, it just didn't suit him. He said, I want to be settled at a club. Yeah, and I think that goes into your point, Jim, about being a big character. He wants to be around the dressing room. He wants to feel a part.
And at Burnley, he won't have to move house. So that's a part of it.
It's a fair point, actually. Yeah.
It's a fair point.
It is. And so he'll just feel more a part of it, really.
Yeah,
Hart's a part of Burnley.
A heart of Burnley. The beating heart.
But there were other good performances as well. Aaron Lennon. Yeah. Hey, talking about former England players and all
rolling
that kind
back
of
the
stuff.
Years.
I mean, it was even suggested about the possibility of him playing for England again. But at 31, last playing for England in 2013, it's unlikely. Although he could say, "Well, Ashley Young."
Who suggested this though? Was it? Yeah, is it you?
Somebody from the press.
Somebody from the press. A pal. Right. A source.
But he was good though. He scored his first goal in about 2.5 years.
He's had very little end product this season. I've seen a little bit of Burnley, and he goes on these like great runs. He doesn't even get a pass.
Pete,
off
that's
half
a criticism he's had for probably most of his career.
Why can't we just say that an English player who hasn't been playing that well played well without saying England team? Yeah.
But the
England
pool team. Of talent is so small in England.
It's not that small.
Mark, could you imagine, given the progress that's been made over the summer, could you imagine what would happen if Gareth Southgate called up Aaron Lennon?
Yeah.
You've got that little twinkle in your eye. No, I don't want it to happen.
The thing is, Jim, I don't have a twinkle in my eye.
The thing is, Jim, if Big Sam was still in the situ, he'd possibly have a chance of getting in there.
England B. Get the B team back.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Aaron Lennon played well. Good for him. Let's not pepper it with England stuff.
Certainly not, no. But it was a good performance. And him and Goodmundson providing a bit more of an attacking threat. And that's what Burnley did. They said that in training, they've been playing on the front foot or training. That's how they would set up against Bournemouth. And you sort of think to yourself, you should bloody do that more often, lads.
There was a sort of palpable release of pressure when that first goal went in. You could just, even from the stands, you could feel it. Obviously, they got another one very, very quickly. And it's brilliant when you see that happen, isn't it? A team that they've been struggling for a bit and then they click, give someone a battering. Again, it does seem harsh on Bournemouth, doesn't it? Because that was not a sort of, not a drubbing in terms
or
of performance.
Gubbing.
Or a gubbing.
Burnley go to Cardiff in the Premier League next, away. Ooh. So a chance to build up a bit of momentum now.
Indeed it is. Manchester United, about 30%, according to Jose Mourinho. But off the field, good to see Sir Alex Ferguson back in the stands at Old Trafford and got a very warm reception, as you'd expect.
Yeah, the grandfather of British football deserves that sort of respect, I think.
Yeah, it's a nice title.
I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you put in... Where would, say, Arsene Wenger, would he be?
Well, he's not British.
No, the foreign uncle kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe, if you like. I haven't really thought about it, but yeah.
All right.
I'll get back to you in a couple of weeks if you want.
All right, then. Well, Paul Pogba, talking about teams playing on the front foot, he said they need to attack, especially at Old Trafford.
That assist for Fred's goal was amazing. Oh,
it was a delightful
brilliant,
touch.
Deft little touch, wasn't it? But actually, Pogba's exact words were, I think it was when we're at home, we should attack, attack, attack. That's Old Trafford, we're here to attack. And like, that is a very pointed phrase, isn't
it?
That's
what the fans
are chanting. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, that is...
You're right, Jim. And I think, especially at home, one thing that's probably not been mentioned enough is that United's record against promoted and unfancied lower half of the table teams isn't great. I mean... Mm. Last season, they lost to West Brom, Huddersfield, Newcastle, Brighton. They drew against Stoke and Burnley. I haven't got the exact details to hand about the thing against promoted teams. But about a year ago, it was being reported quite widely in the press that their record against them wasn't good enough. And since then, those teams I've listed there, they've lost to. So, I think United do need to sort of impose themselves a bit more, especially on a team. I know Wolves, we could make an argument that Wolves are perhaps not a traditional promoted team as we know it.
They're not as good as Man United.
No, they're not, exactly. But so I can understand why they perhaps wanted to be a little bit more careful against a team like Wolves. But ultimately, Pogba's absolutely right. They have to impose themselves more. Mourinho will be really upset with Luke Shaw for the Moutinho goal, I expect, because he got twisted up and bullied out of it and he should have stopped that cross and he didn't. And that cost them. But ultimately, yeah, you're right, Marcus. What you're alluding to there, Man United should be beating Wolves at home, and they didn't.
When Wolves said, I forget which one of the players or coaching staff said it, but they said, when we were going to Old Trafford, we believed we could get something out of it. And that's
the difference, isn't it?
That's totally the difference. You know, if they go into, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see when they go to the Etihad. Okay, they drew against Manchester City earlier on in the season, a few games ago, whenever it was, but... That is the worry. And Pogba, again, he's correct. They want to be attacking. They want to try and really put teams away. And teams look at that and think, oh, blimey, we're going to Old Trafford.
Quite. And the reality is at the moment that I know we're early in the season and United, apart from Spurs, haven't played a really big team, have they? Mm. I mean, they've not been consistently tested in the Premier League yet, and we'll see that happen. So it is early in the season. But at the moment, on goals scored, shots per game, pass completion, that sort of stuff. Man United are a top six side and nothing more, really. Mm-hmm. They're not, I mean, from what I've seen, and this might come back to haunt me, although I suspect not, they'll be miles off the title this season.
Mm. But they're already 8 points adrift.
Yeah, and so I guess...
And they haven't had a particularly tough
one. Exactly. So I guess it comes down to what what is expected of them, and because traditionally what's expected of them has been to win the Premier League, it's looking more and more unrealistic. You can make an argument, I suppose, that Liverpool, Man City are accelerating away from them. That doesn't mean Man United aren't improving, but ultimately they're really going to be miles off, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah, I mean they are. I mean you look at some of the names in that side, and Alexis Sanchez, Jim, talking of expectation, he's just not been the same player.
No, he
since
really, really
Arsenal.
Hasn't, has he? I mean, he made a lot of noise about how he wasn't feeling great, sort of mentally. I think this is in pre-season as well. So you know, he's evidently had a difficult time for reasons we're not sort of privy to.
Getting more dogs.
Yeah, that's it. He's got two.
Five dogs.
How many more do you reckon?
Five more
dogs
labs. Five more lovely labs.
Okay.
Five more lovely labs, then. You haven't said anything for a while when you piped up with some gold there. Well done.
It's good because Sanchez needs to be the centre of attention, so buy more dogs.
This is it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, they love it. They love everything. So, yeah, I mean, it's a funny one. I mean, I can't say I don't massively enjoy how underwhelming he's been.
that's fair enough.
Because, yeah, I mean, I think Arsenal just sold him at the right time. Like, I mean, is it what? He hasn't scored this season, has he? And his return has been very, very poor for what they paid out for him and what you'd expect from a player of that calibre. And what's interesting as well is, you know, he wasn't at the World Cup. You know, he's not been on international duty this month. He's got everything in place to sort of be fresh and be fit, and it just doesn't seem to be firing.
Yeah. It does. I mean, Sanchez is the type of player as well that no matter what system you put him in, no matter which league he plays in, which footballing culture, which opposition he's up against, he does the same stuff very effectively. Mm. He dribbles well. Yeah. He can track back. He gets stuck in. He's a goal threat. Mm. He's creative. It doesn't matter. You know, he's one of those really quite unique players, as I say, that you don't have to worry about putting him into a system or into a different league or so on and so forth, which is why it's quite intriguing. Now, if he is struggling mentally and so on, that's you know, a shame to hear, of course, and we shall see if that's the case, he can get out of that. But you do look at this system, which Mourinho is playing at Manchester United. You know, Paul Pogba, just through his sheer raw talent, is showing moments, but he's not really getting the best out of Pogba just yet. He is showing moments, but that's because he's one of the best players in the world. And Sanchez isn't clicking with it as well. And, you know, even Pogba's coming out saying, we need to attack. Again, you've got to look at the system and you think, can Mourinho realistically do what the fans and by what the players are saying, deliver what they want at Old Trafford?
For me, it's I just don't think he's destined to have a happy time there under Mourinho at Old Trafford. Yeah. And I think the reason for that is it's not set up for him there.
It always seemed to be the case, didn't it? It seemed a weird fit even when the transfer was happening.
Yeah. When Man City were interested.
Yeah. And I think that's why I bought him.
Yeah.
I get that, but from his point of view, why would you wait? Why would you... I don't know. Well, yeah.
For me, it's a case of... At Arsenal, he had a team built around him. I know they had Ozil there for the time as well, for some of the time. But Ozil's personality, he feels like the kind of guy who's happy to drift around and do his thing whenever. And he contributes, of course, to a good team. And he was, you know, part of the thing at Germany and all that kind of stuff. But Sanchez, to me, the time I've spent at Arsenal when he was there, going to the training ground and that kind of stuff, he wanted to be the main man. And I think at United, the reality is that Mourinho is the main man.
Yeah.
And if it's not Mourinho, it's Pogba.
Yeah.
The conversations are about Mourinho or Pogba, or Mourinho and Pogba. And there was a flash towards the end of last season when Sanchez and Pogba started working together a little bit at times quite well, but not consistently. Mm-hmm. And he posted okay numbers last season when he moved there. Okay numbers for a player of his talent. But Jim's right, he's not scored this season. I don't see how he fits in, and I don't see how his personality fits in with the current regime.
Well, he's a live wire, sort of energetic player, isn't he? And do you think maybe, you know, that takes its toll after a time? Maybe you lose a little bit of sharpness, a little bit of edge. Because he was one of those players that could pull something out of nowhere.
Did a lot of travelling, played a lot of international football as well.
Absolutely.
But I just don't think he'll flourish under Mourinho at United.
Well, this is the thing. Like, when you look at his career, that's the point I was making earlier, you look at his career, it just seems, you know, he's gone to Manchester United under Mourinho, boom. Yeah.
But they should try to get him more dogs, because you might as well leave no stone unturned.
I definitely agree.
leave no kennel unturned.
Compared to a lot of the other teams in the Premier League, though, they have got more opportunities to play football. 20% more matches, because they obviously play in Europe and stuff. So he could just be one of those players who, you're not playing the biggest stage in the world, here you go, you can play all the Champions League matches. Yeah. Or maybe, and just shine. But you're not playing a Premier League match, because you seem to be a bit stinky at the moment.
Joao Moutinho, though. Talking of people having...
he didn't feature at all against Young... Sorry, against Young Boys, I don't think. So, yeah.
We're moving on to Joao Moutinho, gentlemen.
Can I just say that if they replace Luke Shaw with a dog, I think it might fix the problem.
I think that's very harsh to a man who has got himself back in the England side.
Hey, yeah. It's not my opinion of Luke Shaw's.
You sort of became the fonz there for
I like how the pinnacle of footballers getting in the England side.
Yeah. Not for an Englishman.
Yeah. Pete, you would hate to play for England.
No, I'd hate to play for anyone. I am my own master, very much like a dog.
Did you play at the weekend?
No.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Okay. Do we want to mention Joao Moutinho's
goal? Yeah, lovely one. Yeah. Lovely goal.
Excellent.
Lovely finish.
Good. Okay, Wolves were very good. Well done, then. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Let's move on to Leicester City, because James Maddison is having a fine start to the season. 3 goals already. Claude Puel believes he's getting better and better.
Well, he is a player who will be... I'll be shocked if he's not in the next England squad. He started like a... He's just been brilliant. He ticks all Southgate's boxes.
Yeah.
You're talking about players, you say it would be ridiculous if after everything Southgate said to call up Lennon. He's got to pick up Maddison. He's got to call up Maddison.
Free kicks alone. Trippier.
He's a brilliant player. He's one of a load of young British players who are exciting, I think, along with, you know, Chilwell, who I know you're a fan of, Marcus. Wan-Bissaka at Palace, David Brooks, who I've talked about at Bournemouth, Ryan Fraser at Bournemouth, Will Hughes at England, Joe Gomez at England.
There's a lad called Phil Foden, have you heard of
him? Yeah, Foden as well. I'm desperate to see more of. I mean, it seems impossible to actually watch him play consistently, which is a shame.
Ryan Fraser is Scottish.
Yeah, so I said British.
Oh, sorry.
And David Brooks is Welsh. It's all part of the UK. UK. And arguably, for me, the best young player in the country, and this is controversial, is Mason Mount.
Well, we're going to talk about him in a bit.
Oh, okay, great. And I also want to talk about Ryan Sessegnon. Can I talk about him in a bit as well? No, all right.
Promises.
Mason Mount at Peter is for not looking English. At the running order.
Yeah. Oh, I've looked at it. I've just ignored it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's two sides of the same coin. Yeah. Willful belligerence.
A terrible
stupidity.
Coin.
And the wrists can't see who I'm pointing at.
Annoying stupidity.
Annoying
if you
stupidity.
Don't mind me saying. No,
well, Jim, you and I will crack on.
Yeah, you guys crack on. Yeah, me and Peter do our own thing.
Shall we get a cuppa?
Yeah.
Maddison, he was excellent for Norwich last season.
He was. I have to agree on that.
Yeah.
It's great to see a player come up from a division below,
isn't it?
Sort of hit the ground running in the same way.
Uh-huh. A lovely creative spark about him. His passing range is quite magnificent. And is he relieving the pressure on poor old Claude Puel? Is there going to be a time where Puel is not under any pressure at any job he faces?
I know. It's not that way, does it?
He's got be stacking shelves and they'd be like, hang on, you better get that done before you've got to leave.
You're not stacking that with enough flair.
It's boring, you're stacking. It is boring.
It's very functional.
You're doing it in a weird order. Yeah. The fact that, I mean, if it was indeed, I mean, presumably, I can't remember who Leicester's head of recruitment is now since Walsh moved on, but... they've identified Maddison as a club and they've signed him and he is and the reason I wanted to mention Sessegnon just very, very quickly is because Sessegnon is, and I know he plays in a different position and it's more difficult for him probably, and of course he played left back at the weekend, but he's found it very difficult to make that transition into the Premier League. I think he's been on the periphery from what I've seen at Fulham.
Jukanovic has kept him, he's managed that,
but he's played a lot, he has featured a lot, but he's not really he's not really made that transition as easily. Given the Marcus, to be fair, that some people were saying he should be in the England squad for the World Cup, he's not made that transition, whereas Maddison has made that transition instantly.
Yeah.
And it's magnificent to see.
But Maddison's gone from two different side to an established Premier League.
True,
side.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Which could be, you could argue that makes it harder.
Or easier.
That's the opposite to what I said. Doesn't mean it's fair. You just said the opposite.
Well, you said that you could argue it's harder.
Anyway, I like him. He's great.
He is very, very
more
good.
Of him.
More of that. But yeah, Puel. I mean, Leicester, not a bad start to the season. 9 points. I mean, they've lost to Manchester United, Liverpool and Bournemouth, but they've beaten Wolves, Southampton, Huddersfield. Okay, you could say they should win those games.
That game at the weekend, V squared, vintage Vardy.
Vardy.
Rolling the years back.
Yeah. I love how Vardy doesn't hide, does he? If he misses a chance, he's right back amongst it straight away.
It was cracking Vardy, that guy. Yeah. It was textbook Vardy, wasn't it? Cut across use your pace, cut across the defender, beautiful finish. What are you worried about? Let's go. Yeah. Let's go to Vodka Revolutions.
Yeah. So he's bearing down on goal. He's almost looking up into the stands going, go on. Queue up Kasabian. Yeah. You're going to need it.
Mine's a doolies.
It couldn't have been more Vardy if he had continued his celebration out of the stadium, down the road, straight into a Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be Wetherspoons, it would be a Lloyd's. It would be like something a little bit above Wetherspoons.
So would he be...
Yates's.
Yates's Wine Lodge, yeah.
Would he be a Vodka Revolutions man?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, massively, yeah.
He'd love a bit of Yates's.
Slug and lettuce.
What's...
Oh, yes.
No, that's a Sunday afternoon vibe.
Okay.
We're going straight to Oceania.
No. Slug and lettuce would be the first port of call.
Yeah.
That's 7 o'clock on a Friday.
No,
night.
I'm thinking Vardy drinks at home, then goes straight to Oshana.
Pre-drinking. Yeah, so Vardy's celebration should be pre-loading. Yeah. You should have beers lined up behind the guy.
No. Is it not Skittles in vodka?
Yeah.
And he has a Red Bull before a game, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think he has like four a day.
I'd imagine he adds something to it afterwards as well.
Yeah. Who knows, Jim? Let's not speculate on that. Huddersfield are bottom with Cardiff, whom they share, I think, it's an identical record with so far. They've not scored more than a single goal in a match since February, according to Gary Lineker's mouth on Match of the Day.
Yeah, I don't think Cardiff or Huddersfield are very good.
No. Okay. And the funny thing is, when they played each other, they drew 0-0.
Yeah, so listen, Cardiff and Huddersfield fans, if you're listening, don't say you never get a mensch, all right? Because you've got a mensch there.
It was disappointing because they did score first, and it was like, oh, this might beat now. No.
That's right. And then they... For Leicester's equaliser. Did Huddersfield think they were 1-0 down with about 30 seconds to go?
Oh, it was absolutely ridiculous. They're 1-0 up away from home. They need points. And every single one of their players attacks a corner against two or three of the fastest players in the league. Oh,
get the keeper up.
What, you got done on the break, did you? Who saw that coming? Everyone. Everyone saw it coming.
Vardy to Iheanacho on the break. Come on, boys. You must do better. All right, after the break, we are going to talk about Crystal Palace and Newcastle United. See you in a moment.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Bielkowski goes after it. Hanley gets there first. Bielkowski's out of his area. Hanley knocks it into the centre. A chance! Oh, Norwich have equalised! How awful! Oh, no! When are Ipswich Town ever going to beat them?
Don from Norwich sent me that. I know it's from like February, but it really made me laugh.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, no!
I love
it. When are Ipswich ever going to beat them?
It's brilliant when you get the FA Cup third round and the BBC don't send everyone...
Oh, we love that.
And you just get local radio reporters who are astonishingly biased. Yeah. It's just great to hear.
They're a certain breed of person, aren't they? They're almost separate from the rest of the species.
I love it.
Local commentators. Yeah.
Absolutely right.
How rude. Very rude, Jim.
Yeah. Pete, you weird creatures.
Well, Pete is someone who's separate from the rest of the species on the show. Is that fair, Pete?
I'm a lemur, which is definitely a monkey. So.
Yeah, oh, God. Don't open that can of monkeys again.
Peter does have the emails in his hand.
It's time for emails.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah!
You've
got mail.
Let's go under the bonnet where all the bees are kept.
Yeah.
It's Pete Donaldson's bonnet, everybody.
That is a Nick Cage special. Yeah.
The bees. Yeah. Graham Bingham. To be honest, Graham and pretty much everyone else in the email box this weekend pointing out the alleged hydrogen propelled shit show that is the Saido Berahino personal life.
Yes.
Hey, what's the name of Graham's? What's Graham's full name?
Graham Bingham.
I thought you said Graham Beecroft then. I was like, famous. Yeah.
Famous. Yeah. Hiya, lads. Mitch says, just a quick email here for Pete. Mitch Rich has 5 goals so far this season. Newcastle altogether have 4. Thank you.
well done for reading that out. That's a big step forward for you.
Yeah. Bethan Remington, thank you for your email, Bethan. I foster kittens, and I have some at the moment who came from an industrial estate and are extremely scared having had minimal contact with humans. What are cats doing on industrial estates?
Yeah,
running a paper merchant.
What are those emails doing in this show?
Yeah. After sitting in the room with them for 2 hours when they just arrived and not seeing any of them, I put the ramble on. They were obviously not impressed by your villa spiel at the beginning, as that prompted absolutely nothing. But as soon as the end podcast began, one of the little ones poked his head from out under the chair. Within minutes, all 3 of them were out and sitting in a creepy little circle around my phone as it played the ramble.
There we go.
Since then, they've gone from strength to strength and are turning into lovely little things. I will name the next 4 kittens I foster after you boys in homage to your cat whispering skills.
Love that.
What a potentially huge new audience for us.
Our new tagline, your cat's favourite podcast.
Dr. Donaldson, he speaks to the animals.
Yeah.
We're just doing, but only 3 at a time.
Oh, I think Dr. Doolittle's fine for that.
we got an email from... I'm going to keep it anonymous because it's a bit chippy.
Is it time for a jingy? Is it time for a bed?
Uh-oh. Time for a bed.
You know, it's...
Here we go. Here we go.
It's back again. 2018 remix.
Sit back and enjoy it, chaps.
Hi there. Anonymous from London here. Hope you're all well. I've been listening to the Football Ramble for over 2 years now and on the continent ever since it started, and I love both shows. However, I've become rather annoyed with one particular aspect of my relationship with your good selves, the consistent ignoring of my correspondence. I've sent a fair few emails to both shows in the past few years and only once had one read out. I appreciate you must receive many from listeners every week, but it's frustrating to be such an active participant in regards to the email section of the Ramble and the On the Continent mailbag, and I'm constantly ignored. I'd like to think my emails have been worthy of being read out on both shows, and in an attempt to make that happen, I've varied it up when it sent them. Sometimes close to when you record, other times well in advance. I've also mixed up the headings of the emails in terms of capping and content, but it appears to make no difference. And to add insult to injury, on an episode of The Ramble that followed immediately after I'd sent an email, Pete ended a strikingly short email section by saying, "We've not had many emails this week. What about mine?" As said, I appreciate you must generally get a lot of email, but by the law of averages, I really should have had more than one read out by now. Could you possibly provide feedback in regards to why most of mine have not made it to air and what I could possibly do to get an email read out on the show? That would be much appreciated. P.S. I obviously don't expect you to read this email out.
Pete, is that our first email from an incel?
That's he's all right.
I'm just kidding. He's just
enjoying getting involved, and we finally read out one of his emails, so thank you for that.
Yeah. If you didn't even say
anonymous.
you didn't even say his name.
Sausages.
You didn't say
his name is Sausages.
Little sausage boy.
Anonymous Sausages.
Anonymous Sausages.
There we are. Yeah.
Is that the end of the email section, Pete?
Yeah.
Peter, okay. Where can people get mugged off if they so wish?
Very short email section that we didn't get many emails this week. shortthefootballramble.com.
Please mug me off at thefootballramble.com.
Before we move on, I'd like to chuck in a little bit of correspondence as well. We had a tweet from Oliver saying, "I spotted Pete Donaldson at Norwood Junction," which is South London, "after the game. His coat was more spectacular than anything seen on the pitch this afternoon."
You enjoyed the gamer, didn't you, Pete?
I really enjoyed the game.
Which coat were you wearing?
It's a new one, 30 quid top man spring sale.
There we go.
Yeah, get in there early. Get your
spring
winter jacket in spring.
Sale.
We're in September.
Get your winter jacket in spring.
Yeah, it's September.
Yeah. Well, you keep them in the cupboard. Have you not got a cupboard?
Oh,
in your
you
house?
Bought them like you bought it like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And you waited a long
That's
time to
how time works
to release it to the unsuspecting public.
Yeah.
Thus. An email coming in.
Well, it was a tweet, but an immediate impact, though, on the British public.
Unlike any of Newcastle's players this season.
nice to see Mike Ashley there to support the boys.
Not true, is it?
Local for him. It's local for him. I'll probably go to Palace. It's down the road, maybe.
Is Crystal still open?
Emmy Chopper.
He's like a lapsed fan of a club, isn't he? Well, I'll go to the away game that's near my house to watch him, but that's it.
That cuts a bit deep, to be honest.
It's the first Premier League game he's been to since they got back into the Premier League, because the last match match he was at when Newcastle played was May 2017, apparently, when they were in the Championship. And that, I think that was the game in which they won the league, maybe?
Right.
Or were promoted.
In between throwing bottles, the Newcastle United fans were just constantly just giving him pelters.
So were the Palace fans, though.
And the Palace fans got involved as well. I was with a friend's dad, who was like, he was, I really like this dad, dad goals. I wasn't with the mate who I know. I was with his dad. His dad
we talked about good footballing dads, didn't we?
So basically, I want to start an app where you get a, where you hire a dad for for a football match.
Because
my dad isn't football friendly.
Danny Baker tells a brilliant story about him and his dad going to a game, a Millwall game. His dad's like legendary, sadly passed away now, of course, but he's a feature of all of his autobiographical books, and they used to go to Millwall together.
Nice.
And they'd all be like 25, him and his pals, and his dad would be about 60 or whatever. And obviously Millwall had a certain reputation around that time.
Yeah.
And what they used to do is they used to search everyone, and they'd take everything off them, including their shoelaces, because they didn't want to kick people. So because they kicked people, their shoes would come off, so they took their shoelaces off them. And apparently they're all standing in this line, and one of the security guards calls Danny Baker through and whoever, and then they see Danny Baker's dad. And the security guard goes, "Not you, Pops. You can come straight through."
Yeah, no.
And Danny's dad apparently was like, "Pops, fucking Pops, I demand to be searched. I demand it." And stood there demanding to be searched.
He could have got all the shoelaces in.
Brilliant story.
Yeah, my granddad, actually, he used to go and watch. He was a big Mill fan. He'd often watch the reserves play as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He said, actually, that was the one to go to because it was just a tiny bit more relaxed, but you'd still get all the laughs and the bants.
Yeah.
All the laughs and the bants.
Yeah.
But speaking of laughs, Mamadou Sakho had a bit of a time.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's got too much stick, though, because it's not like he's a deadly striker or anything.
It was a really poor one.
It was a poor miss. Yeah, yeah.
Dubravka was at full stretch, and I was like, oh,
"Were you behind that goal?"
No. I was right behind Rafa. I was so close to Rafa. I don't think I've ever been that close to Newcastle United, except when they played Hartlepool in the '90s. I think this is the closest I've ever been. I was like two rows back. Oh, it was wonderful.
I could
see Rafa. I could see Jones. I could see everybody.
Jones was in the
side. I love it when you're happy.
It was wonderful. It
makes a nice change.
It was so nice.
Not be down on things.
But I was with a dad who's effectively a Cockney. He's from London, I believe. And so
Cockney's a little bit more.
I know. He's kind of East London. He sort of said, what are the supporters saying? I went, oh, they're saying, they call him a fat Cockney bastard. sorry.
Yeah. What a heartwarming tale.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what.
There you are, Jim. Back down to earth.
I tell you what, Max Meyer was bloody good when he came on. He's only little, but
I think he's a really good player.
Oh, he made the difference. He was charging around all over the shop. Quick.
Right? How did Johns get on?
He was pretty shit.
Yeah.
But again, they talk Newcastle. There's a lot of talk this last couple of weeks. It's like the first time the terms have ever been applied to Newcastle, which is weird because it's definitely true, the short blanket kind of syndrome.
Yeah.
They defend but they can't attack. They attack when they can't defend.
Sure.
So like he was very much entrenched in his.
It's a bit of a poor start.
Just in front of his, he had to come very deep for the ball, and he only got better when I think Hosselu came on for. I think he came off for Rondon, and he was just whacking balls up for Hosselu, who attempted a bicycle kick at one point, which is weird.
Oh, really? I think Palace have got a player in Max Meyer there. I mean, I know people who know a lot more about European football than I do would have said, "Oh, yeah, well, of course he's a good player." But he had a bit of a truncated pre-season. I think when I saw Palace on the opening day, he wasn't even in the squad. So I think he's taking his time to get up to full fitness. But when he does, they might have a real player on their hands. I think
Palace.
Should be starting on the bench and all that. He's incredible.
Palace will be all right this year. I mean, they should have won the game, obviously, the Saka chance. Yeah.
That was a massive robbery from Newcastle.
Yeah.
They hit the post. They were all over.
Was Zaha getting the treatment?
Zaha didn't get the treatment, but he... No, he played very well, I thought. He played as well as, to be exact, from a player who was going to get a lot of attention.
We said he didn't get the treatment. I mean, who was it that chopped him down and got a booking? And then there was that one where I forget which fullback it was or which player it was when they went in studs up and knocked the ball out of play. And Saha was a bit like,
nothing wrong with that. There was nothing wrong with that.
He did get the ball, though.
Yeah, right. He went in.
It doesn't matter. That's not in the law of the game.
It wasn't a foul. It definitely wasn't.
I'm not saying it was a foul, but the way he went in. I mean, I can understand. I think Saha.
There was nothing wrong with that. He was a lot of the time looking for it, and I think most Palace fans would admit that. But I thought he still played.
If we're having a vote around the table on it, Marcus, I haven't seen it, so I have to abstain. Jim and Pete said there's nothing wrong with it, and you said there was.
No. I never said that. Well, it wasn't a foul. I'm just saying that the way the defender went in a way of, I don't care if I almost don't get the ball here.
No, but you're coming from a point of view of a player who's actually quite good at football.
Well,
so you've been on the end of it, whereas normally it's me and Pete and Jim dishing them out.
Yeah. It's the forwards union that I've just created. But Zaha, Hodgson sort of hinted that I don't want to put words in Hodgson's gob, but from what I got from what he said, it was almost a bit like, I'm not sure Zaha should have said those things
right
last week, because now he's made a bit of a rod for his own back. And
it almost makes the referee not want to give stuff for me, for my money.
Yes.
And I won't be bossed either way, to be honest.
And he was a little bit subdued and so. But anyway, Zaha, you know, he's
still
nearly
you guys will have a very, they defend in numbers, so he's not going to have as much time as he gets against other teams who like to break on the counter. So it's just, or play with the three at the back. He's just not going to get that kind of space and time. But I thought Crystal Palace were very good, and I like that stadium.
Yeah, it's a nice place to go watch football.
It's not one of those identical stadiums.
No, exactly. No.
Yeah. Now,
the last time I went, we were beaten 5-1. It made me very sad.
Indeed. Now, if you wanted to go and watch Newcastle again, you may go to St James's Park, Peter.
Here we go.
Because you probably feel fairly welcome there.
Right, okay.
I'd feel fairly welcome there. Yeah. Jim would as well.
About me?
Yeah, no, you would as well.
All right,
very much so, very much so. It would appear that not everybody is welcome at St James's Park these days. And this is going to be mapped out next month, because then the footballing gods are good. Kevin Keegan is publishing his autobiography next month.
I'll be reading it. I'm going to read it.
Paper cuts galore.
Pre-ordering that.
Yeah. I think him...
Can't wait for that to give me a headache. Straight in my eye.
I think him not being allowed into St. James's Park is a public insurance issue. Well,
public liability.
Yeah. he's up there with asbestos when it comes to being unwelcome in buildings.
The premiums are too high, Kev.
Yeah. What a way to treat your messiah, right?
But is that the legacy of it? Oh, this building in the 90s, it had asbestos in it. This building had Keegan in it in the 90s.
Yeah. one of the biggest kind of things for me, takeaways, apart from, like, obviously, you know, Mike Ashley and Jimenez and stuff. Mike Ashley, when he was on the phone, he would always call Kev King Kev.
Oh, would he? Good.
Oh, my
God. Or the most honest man in football.
Read the extract.
Well, he said he's sort of been effectively banned from Newcastle. I don't mean he's officially been banned, but he said he's been made to feel very unwelcome. And he said that he did go back once, I think, since leaving Newcastle. When was it, Pete? 2008?
Yes.
That he resigned. He said he's been back once since then. And this was because it was a leaving do for a lifelong Newcastle United fan. And Keggy said he returned incognito. I improvised. I put on a pair of glasses. I found a flat cap and I turned the collar up on my overcoat to complete the disguise.
Apparently he was disguise. He's wearing a hat.
Apparently he was spotted straight away by a friendly member of staff.
It's like Kevin Keegan in a hat.
Oh dear. So yeah. We look forward to to next month. Christmas has come early, Jim.
It really has, hasn't it?
Damn right. Will it be released on Halloween, do we think? Oh, I don't know. Let's go down to the Championship. We've got to start with Aston Villa. Disappointing result, but what a goal from Mr. McGinn.
It's a fantastic
goal.
Call it what it was, a shin consolation.
Yeah, some people say come off the shin.
On some angles, when you look at it.
I think it does come off a shin, but I think it helps with the propellant. Yeah. To be honest, because otherwise, if you're just hitting it with the end of your toe, there's just less purchase you're going to get on it. So you need a bit more than just your toe.
No, but does it not look when you see that shot from behind his shoulder? Does he not hit it with his laces? Because it does look
think
like
it's shit. I think it's
I watched it a lot, and it was hard to tell. But I know that some people have been referencing the tibia area.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a bit like that Rooney overhead kick against Man City, which came off his shin. I mean, you know, you've thrown your leg at the ball, obviously in the hope that it goes
in. To even think that you could execute a move like that is obscene. Like, it's so straight, like an arrow, and they always look better when they come off the bar, as the commentator
it's
said.
A sensationally good goal.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. It's a beautiful goal to watch, yeah.
Indeed it was, yeah. But he's put himself in the hearts and minds of the footballing public now, as McGinn. But Sheffield Wednesday, they were decent. They won the game.
It was a consolation.
Yeah.
Well, it was an equaliser.
Ended up being okay, fine, yeah, fair enough. It was an irrelevant goal. Yeah. It was the best irrelevant goal off the shin I've seen this season.
That's true. Derby beat Brentford, another win for Lamps. Chelsea loanee Mason Mount impressed again for Derby. Over to Luke Moore.
I just think he's a brilliant player.
Yeah.
I just think he's a fantastic just talent. I mean, it's one thing to have a guy who can play well in the Championship and pick up some goals and all this other stuff. But Mason Mount is a kid who's 19 years old. He's essentially controlling games.
And a good name as well. If you're going to go to the top, I mean, he was player of the tournament.
He sounds like a product from 3M.
Mason Mount.
Yeah, to like, glue something to a wall.
Yeah, he does.
Sorry,
yeah.
No, it's all right. Yeah. It's,
it was that was definitely worth it, Peter.
He was he was player of the tournament, the European Championships, under 19 European Championships, when England won, of course. So he's got pedigree, and it's nice to see him play. And Derby seem to be a side, obviously Lampard's there, so that's going to help matters. But they seem to be a side which a few players, younger players coming through, seem to kind of do quite
well. It's a really competitive division. It's obviously... there's something like 16 or 17 teams in it who've been in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a really packed division, and obviously not every team can get promoted. If they do get promoted this season, Derby under Lampard, and he had a little bit of a wobble, and then obviously they had that poor result at Rotherham where he got sent off, but overall they've been decent. Mason Mount is good enough to propel them to the Premier League. The biggest problem is...
But Chelsea might start him next season, though.
The biggest problem is his path to a top-level first-team position because he's a Chelsea player. So it's not going to be a situation like Mitrovic when he goes to Fulham on loan and they make it permanent because it's Mitrovic. Yeah. He's a bit older and it's a bit of a different situation. If Chelsea would be in a position where they'll have to keep an amount of English players because of the FIFA ruling, they'll know he's brilliant. But he probably won't be brilliant enough to start for them.
Well, of course.
So it puts him in a position. So just all I'll say at the moment is there's a load of good young English players in the Championship at the moment. Ollie Watkins, Jack Grealish, of course, Harvey Barnes, Reece James, good right back at Wigan. Bradley Dack has come up from League One. Just enjoy him while you can, particularly Mount, because it'll be a crying shame if at the end of this season he goes back to Chelsea and doesn't play, because I think he's got a potential to be the type of player who can make the step up and he can continue to improve. He's only 19, that can be that player that England are crying out for. Well, a player who in the midfield who can control games.
Southgate knows this. Southgate invited him to train with the full side ahead of the World Cup in Russia as well. And he's pretty good at that. But I'd love to see Mason Mount. If he doesn't, let's be honest, it is even if he was the Championship player of the season, he won't start at Chelsea next year. Unless Gareth Southgate himself is in charge of Chelsea.
Ross Barkley isn't like a confirmed kind of like, you know, first 11 player, and they spent a shitload of money on him.
What is potentially exciting for this young English talent that you speak of, Luke, is to see the likes of the much talked about Jadon Sancho in the Bundesliga. And
Mount's already played overseas, of course.
He played in Holland. Why not go to that league? If it was an option, I appreciate it as a young man.
I think we're going to start to see.
Yeah,
Mason Mount for the next season is going to have a massive taste of the biscuit. He's going to love it. Absolutely. Championship's a really well supported league. Yep. He's going to get a lot of press, a lot of attention. He'll probably continue to be invited back to train with England. Him and his agent, if it comes down to it in Chelsea next year, they're going to have to force a move. Well, he has to play.
But the Bundesliga, as Andy Brassel was saying, are well aware of the young English talent that's coming through, and that the fact that they don't get into Premier League sides, or certainly the best Premier League sides, go out to the Bundesliga. And what's exciting is there is a handful of English players there. Mm. Now, they'll come back to under-21s, if they're still in the squad and so on and so forth, and say, you know what? Living in a foreign country isn't that bad. Actually, you can learn another language. And that paves the way for people like him. Because wouldn't it be great if he doesn't get in the Chelsea side to go and play, say, in the Bundesliga?
Yeah, they're just starting. Show them a copy of Our Feeder's Own Pet.
There's a situation I can think of where Derby do get promoted and he goes and does another year on loan there.
Well, I think his best case scenario, obviously, is for Derby to get promoted because that's his team at the moment. But play Premier League football in a side that you know and you're familiar with and so on and so forth.
I don't care what top flight he plays in, as long as it's a decent level one. Yep. And he's got this situation where he's learnt his trade at Chelsea. He's come up at Chelsea. He's done a bit on loan overseas, so he knows that's not anything to be scared of. And now he's playing in a competitive Championship League, which is very physical. Next season, I don't want to look too far beyond this season, but next season, he's got to play.
Yep.
He's Portsmouth's finest prospect ever. He could be the best ever player to be born in Portsmouth.
Damn right. And all this goes for Wales.
I'm delighted he didn't come up the Pompey Academy,
indeed.
Of course.
All this goes for Wales international Harry Wilson as well, who's on loan from Liverpool. Klopp is very much keeping an eye on him.
Did you see in tragic news, Steph Houghton's husband, Stephen Darby, down in Bolton.
Yeah. He's
motor neuron disease. Yeah, awful situation.
Terrible. I've heard a bit of that on Five Live last week with Stephen Warnock. Yeah, terrible. Yeah, really sad.
Because he played with them at Liverpool, didn't he?
They came through, I think, together at Liverpool. Yeah,
very sad indeed. Just to finish off the Derby chat, it was nice to see David Nugent scoring.
Another great young player in the Championship.
I mean,
33 now, I think he is.
England squad?
Yeah, why not?
Why not, eh? Why
Another
not?
Man in the Huckabee zone.
Before we go to the ad break, just... let's quickly go north of the border. Hearts drew 0-0 with Livingston, but Celtic lost to Killy. Trouble in paradise, Mr. Rogers.
Look at his little face.
Well, there is, isn't there? There is trouble in
there
paradise.
There is. I mean, people laughed when I said, "Can they hold off Livy for that Europa?"
That was a yawn, mate.
For the Europa Leagues, but I mean, Celtic down in sixth. They're worth start for 20 years, you know.
Somewhere there's been chat that Boyata's upset everyone. That obviously Dembele left with a parting shot.
Indeed,
there is trouble in paradise.
All right, let Celtic are sixths. In the league,
yeah.
They are, and we're in September. Okay, this.
How's your aunt taking this?
She's as stable as she's ever been. She's a big Hearts fan, but yeah, Hearts. I mean, it was only a point; could have been three.
Missed a penalty, didn't they?
If Nasey it scored the penalty, but it's still, you know, they're still running away with it. Now let's go for an ad break, and after which we'll go to the WhatsApp group. See you in a moment.
Jose Mourinho, the man who stole the show. You're the special one, and you're dynamo. Whoa, whoa.
Oh, God bless that man. The preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday. Oh, man's on for a hat-trick.
Vardy did the business for Andy Duncan.
Get in there, Andy.
And so we go to the first chance of the season. And indeed, possibly for the first time ever, we're going to have a man's name up on the wall of this studio as an ORE for getting a hat-trick of best bets with Bet365. Tune in on Thursday. Don't miss it. It's like when Stranger Things comes back or there's a new series of Game of Thrones. Right. It's going to be a massive audio event. Let's see what he goes for.
This is big.
Andy, we're on your team, mate. Thursday we'll unveil his third bet and then we'll see how we get on. Amazing scenes.
Amazing scenes indeed. Talking of amazing scenes, let's crack open the WhatsApp group.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
Steady with the language. I know English isn't your first.
Steady with the language. I know English isn't your first.
A welcome introduction into the WhatsApp group for the first, but hopefully not the last time this season, for former estate agent and all-round professional idiot, Jeff Shreve.
Yeah. Cheers, Jeff.
Cheers, Jeff. Well done, Jeff.
Oh, dear.
So, if people haven't seen this...
Or for people who are overseas.
Yeah. Jeff Shreves did a post-match interview after the Arsenal game with Alexander Lacazette and who else? Someone else. I forget who it was. Another Arsenal player. And Lacazette said the...
No, was it Aubameyang?
Might have been. But
you're right. I think he was with Aubameyang.
He was talking to Lacazette and Lacazette was answering a question and used the term clean sheet, obviously in a heavily French... accent. To which Jeff Shreves thought he said shit on telly and told him off.
I thought he said I thought he was talking about the balls. Yeah.
I was okay.
He'd confused testicles with balls.
He said Czech had taken a lot of balls or something.
Yeah, he had taken a lot of balls.
I thought he said shit instead of sheet.
Either way, it's Jeff
brilliant.
Got it very
it's
wrong.
Brilliant, yeah.
Jeffy Shreves.
Cheers, Jeff.
That's the end.
It is, guys, sorry. It's Sky Sports. Sky. Sorry, then we can cut BT out.
I'll play that again. Basically, it's Jurgen Klopp not being exactly sure who he's talking to. So he checks the microphone muff and the logo on it. And Jeff Shreves could not be more annoyed.
Do you want to buy this semi or not? It's got a lovely garden.
Here it is.
What is it, BT Sky? Sorry. It's Sky Sports. Sky. Sorry, then we can cut BT out.
It's Sky Sports.
You must know who I am. You're simply on the face of the channel, of the sport.
The man who was only not fired from Sky because he had a day off that day. And you all know what I'm talking about. So, fair to say, Jeff Shreves making a boo-boo has been a huge part of our WhatsApp chat this last few days.
Enjoyable.
Something else that's happened as well is ex-Norwich striker Grant Holt won a 40-man Royal Rumble recently.
I love this.
You heard right. He's ventured into the world of wrestling entertainment. He was the 40th man out. But still,
that's a lot of money. That's a lot of 50 quids to hand out to the wrestlers, isn't it? 40 of them.
What's his thinking behind going into wrestling?
What? He's just tall thinks, and fat.
I'm a big unit. I fancy it.
I guess if you're a modern footballer, you know, even Grant Holt, someone from his level, will be, you know, probably never has to work again. You know, he's just doing what he likes. Yeah, so I'm going to become a wrestler. Why not?
Surely his move's going to be like the diving headbutt. something, like a diving header.
I love he was effectively dressed as a pundit.
Yes,
I think
he was
on BT Sport that day. I hope he sticks with that gimmick.
Is that his stated gimmick?
He was wearing jeans, like a black jumper and white trainers. He is teaming up with Roy and Zach Knight, who are wrestlers, and they're called the UK Hooligans.
Nice.
So he's going to be... So maybe he'll come out in the Stone Island gear and all that kind of stuff, and he won't have to change his clobber.
Remember him being talked about ahead of Euro 2012 of being part of Roy Hodgson's England team?
Mainly by you.
I think there were people calling for it.
Okay.
I'm happy to be in the vanguard of that, but I'm just saying other people were behind
I was in the Bobby Zamora.
Did you see the video of the actual finish itself where he can't get back up?
he was
mate, use your legs.
He was clotheslined.
I've only started watching wrestling even I know that.
He was clotheslined over the ropes, but he held on.
Yeah, and what you do then, you flip back over.
That's right.
He just didn't.
He couldn't do
he
it.
He just didn't do it properly.
He needed a helping hand from an already eliminated wrestler.
Did he?
Yeah.
And then he did a little tippy toes.
Another thing that was being that one thing we should not. We're not done with Grant.
No,
yet.
We're not.
Sorry, I apologize.
I wanted to tell everybody because I'm sure a lot of people will want to check this out. He's appearing at Fightmare 3 in 2019.
Sorry. You're absolutely right.
Which is World Association of Wrestling. WAW.
Where can people get tickets?
Or war, as I like to call it.
Just Google it.
Yeah, just have it on the internet, probably.
One thing that cannot be forgotten about, guys, is that one of our favourite weekends of the season just happened, and we forgot to talk about it last week, so we'll talk about it now.
Yeah.
Scottish Cup first round.
Yeah.
Come on. Some great team names in there.
Oh, go on then.
Fort William lost 3-0, by the way, to Linlithgow Rose. This is a great name.
That's a great name.
Gala Fairy Dean beat Lossie Mouth. They're still in the hat.
Yeah. Lossie Mouth?
Yep.
Lossie Mouth.
Yeah, it would be Lossie Mouth. Yeah, I was thinking it was Lossie Mouth, but they say Mouth, don't they? Like Portsmouth, that's how they call it.
Coldstream, they're still in it.
Coldstream,
Big Strathspey Thistle. Burnt Island Shipyard, they went out, sadly, to Cumbernauld Colts 4-1.
That's a shame. They used to be called Burnt Island Shipyard Amateurs. Maybe they've dropped the amateurs.
I think Keith might have gone out as well.
Keith did. He left. Keith. He's gone.
I'd like to bring up, Jenny gives a tweet, Jenny Phillips on Twitter, a friend of the show, I think, from back in the day. She's pointed out that Lon Robert's brother has signed for Gloucester, which is very exciting. And he looks a little bit like Lauren Robert. But does he wear grey pants is the question.
There's not much
does he it. Just play for himself?
Does he wear...
not much to do in Gloucester.
The last point of call on the WhatsApp group, of course, this one, it got us going. It got the juices going. Jovinho scored one of the greatest goals of all time Parma against Cagliari on the weekend. It was an absolute beauty.
Brilliant. I mean, you'd say he's rolling back the years, but I don't really remember him doing that before. So.
No, Jim, he's not rolling back the haircuts. That's for sure. Still got the same one.
There was some rolling back the hairline back.
Yeah. There was some pretty wonky defending at one point, but it was lovely to just see him open it all up. And
bearing
the finish
in mind,
was beautiful.
Yeah, in off the bottom of the post, which is also really satisfying.
It was utterly glorious. Apart from Paulinho, not many players have gone to China and come back to Europe with that pace.
Mm. I was about to say Axel Witsel, but he's not got pace.
Maybe he's been like a really picky eater. Oh, there's a goal. Can't eat that.
It's a glorious, glorious goal. It got a standing ovation.
We might even cover it in more depth on the continent on Wednesday.
Speaking of on the continent, we got an email from Ashley Bidad, a logistics manager. A fascinating insight in the workings of Antonio Cassano in an interview this week regarding his time at Madrid. In Madrid, I had a friend who was a hotel waiter. His job was to bring me 3 or 4 pastries after I'd had sex.
There we go.
Yeah, wow. I think that was a few years ago.
We covered that at the time.
Did we?
But it's worth bringing up.
Definitely worth bringing up.
How'd you get that job?
Yeah. It's just 3 or 4. Is this a 3 or a 4?
Thanks for coming in. Have you delivered any pastries to
post-coital footballers?
Heartthrob footballers before? Yeah. What's your experience for this role? For this role.
Yeah, it's very good. Nice. Yeah, well done. Yeah. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. Remember, the preview show will be out on Thursday. Get involved. Say goodbye, Lukey Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey Don.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy Campbell.
Bye. It's
goodbye from me. Play the music.
Ronald McDonaldson.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.